My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Right now, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he's a former Brown, he's a current analyst. Ladies and gentlemen, John Greco joining us on the show this morning. John, how the hell are you?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great, and I promise you I will not hang up on either of you during this interview.
See, he always finds a way. I've never been bothered by him eating because it's never been noticeable until now. He's been sitting on that bomb this entire time, and he finally decided to pull the pin on it, John, and it exploded in this studio. And the thing about it, John, is that everything we do, so we used to complain about our marriages and kids, and Lyman would just sit there on his phone and texting his buddies, fuming that we were talking about stuff that he didn't care about. Now we're talking about our kids, and he's going through the marriage and kids thing, and then he's going to go through it. Izzy's going to start playing basketball, and he's going to go, and then they called a foul, and I got this other parent coming out of the stands. He's going to do it in 4 years. I'm telling you right now, John, it's going to happen. It's happening. It's going to happen.
Absolutely. I do the same thing. I talk about my kids' flag football game, first grade flag football game, and then, like, in the middle of the story, I'm in my head, I'm like, these guys don't care. Why am I even talking about this? They don't care. And then I just move on with life. But, yep, you're right. One day he'll be there.
The only thing I regret is how loud it is. And because I can't hear, I am basically deaf now. So I don't I'm Jacob Silge. I can't realize how loud I'm talking with everybody. John, it was a win on Sunday. And I'm going to get to that here in a moment. I got to ask you one question first. Is Deshaun Watson was pressured on 44% of his dropbacks against Jacksonville, kind of a lot. How do we go about addressing? I don't think it can be fixed in 1 week. How do we go about addressing that, though?
No, you're right. It's not going to just, you know, snap its fingers and fix itself. But I think at some point, I would assume that our two starting tackles are going to be back in the lineup. So once they get back into, you know, full speed, play ready, NFL Sunday ready, I think that's going to naturally make protection a little bit better. But yeah, there's just, you know, Ken, we talk about it all the time. It just seems like one guy breaking down or, you know, one thing happening where a guy doesn't pass off a twist, you know, as clean as he should, and that has a chain reaction. And Deshaun Watson just, it doesn't seem to have the comfort or the confidence yet that, okay, you know, even though there's a little bit of pressure, let me just kind of step up in the pocket or evade one rusher and still, you know, stay in my progression. It seems like if there's flashes, which if you're being pressured on 44% of your snaps, I mean, I would probably be a little bit out of sorts in the pocket myself. But I think it's just kind of a chain reaction. If one guy misses a block, if they don't pass off a twist correctly, it's causing the whole front to kind of collapse. And I think you're seeing that. And then it's negatively affecting Deshaun. So they just have to dig deep. Whoever's in the lineup, you know, continue to focus on fundamentals, because that's what Bill Callahan was all about, and you saw that last year. Now, you know, I think that the sample size is still too small to see how much we actually miss him, because you're missing some starters. So once that full unit is back, we'll be able to kind of, you know, make an assessment on losing Bill Callahan. But that's gone. That's history. We have, you know, new guys in that meeting room. It's a different group. Same players, but I need to see it over a larger sample size. But they have to play better, and they will. I think they will. As guys come back and get healthy, you'll have that chemistry, and hopefully Deshaun has the confidence behind those guys.
John Greco with us right now on the hotline. So that first drive, the Browns came right down the scripted plays. It was magnificent. And I thought the offensive line started out, especially in the run game, I thought they were really impressive early on in this game. Now, I don't know if it was Jacksonville making the adjustments, but that was the only touchdown the Browns were able to put on the board the rest of the day, and a big reason why, the holding penalties. What did you see out of the offensive line as a whole outside of the numbers that we talked about at the beginning?
Yeah, you know, I caught the first drive on the radio, and I heard the guys saying how everyone on the sidelines had kind of a different look and feel and vibe. So I think that it was such an emphasis that, hey, we're going to establish the run, and we're going to be physical and try to impose our will on these guys, especially early. And you know, we're no stranger to this. Kevin Stefanski has managed to orchestrate openers so successfully that, you know, we've always had these conversations. It's like, my God, when these plays are scripted and we're on schedule and mixing run, play action, and pass, you know, we see what this offense can look like. And then at some point in the game, a little bit of adversity, and they kind of get derailed. So I was not surprised. I fully expected them to come out and try to establish the run game, since it wasn't you know, they couldn't really get to it in Dallas, against Dallas. But yeah, the penalties across the league seem to be really, I don't know the numbers compared to, you know, previous seasons at this point in this year, but it seems like there's a lot of laundry on the field. And that could be, you know, players are still trying to get, you know, get used to the speed. We could talk about how lack of playing in the preseason is bleeding into the regular season. But yeah, I thought the Browns' first drive was impressive, really the first half. You had some kind of mistakes, which are going to happen in the game, but you can't have like the procedural penalties where the tackles are lining up, you know, and not covering the center, which seems to be a major point of emphasis for the referees this season. But yeah, I thought they kind of were imposing their will and saying, hey, look, we're going to try to be the more physical team, that line, and kind of dominate and establish a new line of scrimmage each play. And I think Deshaun, you know, saw success in the first half of that because of that, with, you know, positive gains on first and second down, to have manageable short third downs. And they were converting those short and intermediate throws early on, and then, you know, kind of got away from them in the second half, and that's when it got interesting.
John Greco, former Browns guard, current analyst, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Do you believe, because there was some contention brought up by some fans, do you believe the Browns failed to plan for there being no Wills or Jack Conklin, and then having, you know, James Hudson there in their absence?
Ken, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to plan for, you know, not three, because you need a swing tackle that's ready to go in and be serviceable at a starter at really all four positions other than center. But it's hard when you have multiple guys out, and then your third guy is kind of a little bit banged up and is, you know, missing series or plays here and there. So you're talking about three, four, and five serviceable tackles. And I mean, if they're able to do that, you know, hats off to Andrew Berry and the scouting department for bringing in backups that are able to step in, you know, 3, 4, and 5 deep, because that's a deep bench. You know, we always talk, you see kind of play deteriorate because obviously if they were good enough, they'd be starting somewhere else. So I think whenever you have reserve players in a role that are playing extended time due to starters kind of trying to come back from injury, and we don't know what that time frame is. I would have thought they would have been playing by now, but obviously either they're not ready or they're playing the conservative route because it's a longer season with the 17th game. I don't know, but you just have to do everything you can to get these guys ready. And you know, we talk about all the time, extra chips, sliding guys way, but at some point you just have to buckle up and execute. You can't put, you know, crutches on everybody at all times where it's like, well, we can only slide left, we can only slide right because this guy needs extra help. You still have to be able to run the offense. And you're seeing it. You're seeing guys, you know, get beat and give up pressure. So every guy just has to, you know, look themselves in the mirror and just try that much harder and make their blocks. It's the end of the day. I hate to, you know, be so simple about it, but that's what it is. They can't change the whole offense because of some backup guys. So hopefully, you know, we get Wills and Conklin back soon, and they're you know, up to speed and healthy, and we'll see what this O-line looks like.
Do you believe, we've been too hard on James Hudson through the first 2 weeks, or, hey, he's a veteran, and what you see is what you get, and he needs to be better?
No, I think if you asked him, and maybe guys have, and I haven't, you know, caught his post-game reactions or weekly interviews, but I'm sure he would admit that he has to play better. Look, if it was me and you were missing blocks, you can't hide it. I mean, everybody sees it. So I think everybody has to play a little bit better up front, especially against Dallas. And, you know, we had that conversation last week. But, you know, progress. They won the game. Can the Browns' offensive line sustain that type of play all season and expect to make the playoffs? Probably not. So, yeah, you know, there's going to be some games where, it's not pretty for them, but you find a way to sneak out a win. And there's going to be games where, you could say, well, hey, the O-line played their asses off, and they played a winning football game, and the Browns might come up short. So they have to do their job in that little room, in the dark, in the cold, where the mushrooms grow and the mold's on the walls in the O-line room, and just dig deep. And whatever combination of the five is out there, they gotta buckle up and get ready to play, because Deshaun is now showing after this Jacksonville game, especially in the first half, if we give him a little bit of time, you know, he's starting to come around a little bit. It was starting to look better. And the run game, they're trying to lean on that and establish that, because it's only going to make them more balanced and give them more success.
John Greco with us. I'm learning a lot about mushrooms in the O-line room while he's talking right now. Excellent stuff.
Not the type of mushrooms I knew about.
Exactly. There seems to be a little bit of a crisis right now through only 2 weeks in the NFL. They're calling it a dink and dunk league. The touchdown passes are way down, and the depth of target is way down around the league. Now, some are saying it's because of the too high safety look. From what I'm seeing, John, and you're the expert, so you can correct me, it seems like every defense has at least one or two unblockable defensive linemen. Has that changed in any way since you've been playing football?
I'm with you on that. No. I mean, there was damn good defensive linemen when I played. I don't know if – and then this is going to be – I mean, I don't want to say high level, but this is like deep state down rabbit hole thinking. I think because you're seeing veterans get beat too, so this doesn't make sense to a lot of people. But I have a theory that college offensive linemen, the college offenses are so different, and when offensive linemen come to a pro style offense, they're kind of having to relearn the position,
yes.
They're pass blocking. I get it. They're pass blocking in college, but I think the offenses are so different, and when you're asking a guy to do, you know, hey, just vertical set against Micah Parsons, just vertical set against Nick Bosa, vertical set is that against you know, TJ Watt, if, you know, 40 times a game, 50 times a game, you're bound to get beat. And yeah, these guys, it's scary how much better pass rushers are getting each year, where you have Myles Garrett, a guy like Myles Garrett, and the other guys that I mentioned, they're nightmares. They're 6'4", 6'5", 290 pounds, and they can beat you with speed, spinning, power. It's not easy. So playing offensive line has never been easy, but it's only going to get more difficult as these athletes on the other side of the football get more and more dangerous and their skill sets get that much better. But, yeah, I don't think the two-high safety look has anything to do with it. Defenses have been playing two-high safeties for a long time. I know that, you know, they're able to cover a little bit more with athletic linebackers, so you're able to keep another safety back and prevent a deep ball. But still, offensive linemen are faced with tough opponents. I mean, these guys are dangerous on the other side of the ball.
John Greco joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Did you see that Bryce Young was benched in Carolina?
I did see that.
Is there any interest in bringing Bryce Young in? Because I said, hey, the boy never had a chance down there. And they go, why don't we bring him in here? And I go, we don't need another quarterback. We don't need Bryce Young. I wish him well, but no.
Yeah, I hate to see that in a young guy's career like that, especially after only a second game. But, I mean, obviously something needs to change in Carolina, and I think that this is a move just to try to provide them a spark. And, you know, Andy Dalton, a veteran, a guy that's led an offense, they're probably saying, you know, let's see what the issue is. Is it just Bryce, or do we have other issues? And we'll you know, they're going to take a look at having a veteran quarterback to see if he can provide a spark. Because let's be honest, I mean, if you watch any of their highlights or either of their games, the offense was pretty dismal. But well, as far as bringing Bryce Young here, I mean, we already have some quarterbacks on the team, and we're trying to get Deshaun Watson right.
Yeah.
And Jameis is doing a hell of a job on third down, doing the Browns tush push. And I have a feeling at some point in the year, evil scientist Stefanski is going to, you know, throw a bomb on fourth and one, and we're all either going to be going crazy or pulling our hair out. But, yeah, I think we have plenty of quarterbacks on the roster already.
Jerome Ford said that Jameis Winston calls plays in the huddle like he has a secret to tell, which is how could you tell when guys were coming in? I know we got to go here. Could you tell how guys were going to be, how they called plays in the huddle? Like, you're like, oh, yes. God, this guy, I don't know about this.
I laughed so hard when I saw that because I was envisioning myself in the huddle and seeing Jameis with his eyes wide open, like, did you guys hear? You know, here's the play. That's right. I was laughing so hard. What a comment. But, yeah, there were certain guys that, you know, they'd come in the huddle and it was like, hey, buddy, there's no secret. We're on the road. You know, speak up. I want to hear the play. I can't hear what you're saying. You're whispering. You know, let's get going. And then there were guys that, you know, you're at home and they're screaming, and the defensive line's like, hey, it's screen left. So there was frustration on both ends. Nobody's perfect, guys.
John, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours, buddy.
Thank you.
John,
you have a good week.
John Greco on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Boy, it was right as rain. Finally, a former NFL offensive lineman, a guard / center at times. He said it. It's very difficult for these guys to come in from college anymore and do it. That's what makes and the level of athleticism needed. Like, you look at a guy like Tristan Wirfs, who's moved into it. That's why, and people are going to roll their eyes. And, hey, I don't think he's God's gift to the position either. But that's what made Jed Wills enticing to the Browns, is that his athleticism is apparently very good. We haven't got to see a whole bunch of it all the time. I think a lot of people have ran out of patience with him. He's in his fifth year. This is a contract year. He still hasn't been out there. I think we always play the winning game every Wednesday. Over the last couple of weeks, is he going to be out there? Is he not going to be out there? You know, what is it? Especially last week when head coach Kevin Stefanski said he was going to practice, that he didn't practice, and on Thursday he was limited. You know, it always seems to be this fit and start. And meanwhile, you have James Hudson there, who's doing the best he can.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Cam, but he's a swing tackle at best in the NFL, Tone. I mean, that's as best of what you can say. It's leaving fans in a predicament to the point where, you know, I showed you some of the stuff where some fans are going, did the Browns leave themselves, should they be criticized for not being prepared to get this team ready with their tackles being hurt? Should they be held accountable? Should Andrew Berry and Neiman Esta and everybody be held accountable for not going out and getting a veteran there?
What the Browns, you know, really felt, how they felt about the injury situation. Like, were they, boy, I don't know how to do this without accusing Wills of not being honest.
You can do it.
Well,
you can
what do else it. Am I ready, so just go ahead and do it.
Well, what else am I supposed to do? They've been in conversation this whole time. Did they realistically think that Wills might not be ready until week four? Like, if they truly thought that, and then knowing the Conklin situation, then they would have added somebody, would they not have?
Well, they would have put him on IR so they have the roster spot at least, right? If it's 4 weeks, they might thought as well
he
throw
was,
him on there.
They thought he was going to be back. They thought, yes. You know, let's call it what it is. They thought he was going to be back. You don't need to be accusatory for that. Now, I can't sit there and say they guessed wrong. They had some information. They're not just going to sit there and go, okay, the doctors say he's not going to be back. Yeah, well, whatever. We're our own doctors. We're just going to stick him out there. No, somebody told them, who was a professional at what they do, that they were going to be okay to start the season there.
Didn't
at that
we walk
position.
Down the path, though, of accusing, right? And do you think it's a he's not in shape or he's not back from the injury yet.
I don't know.
Or
don't
something
know.
Other than that.
I have no idea. I'm trying to walk the same line Lime is right now because I don't know what the hell's going on.
But and it's
right now, I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of rumblings going on and I don't like it. That's as far as
on.
I'll go. That's as far as I'll go with it. Because I'm telling you. Go ahead.
Kenny, it's a contract year for Jedrick Wills. The building earlier. They show up in the offseason. They come to all
know.
The minicamp stuff. This is weird.
I am trying my best. Because once you make, like, a couple years ago, Daryl says, I go, but Daryl, once you say those sort of things, you know, it's hard to take it back. That's a sincere insult. I'm trying my best not to. But I can't help when the rumblings are going on. That's all I'll say. You got to love football. You got to love it. Or the league will separate you if you don't. Or you have to be the Hall of Famer of Hall of Famers of Hall of Famers at your certain position. You have to be upper echelon. You basically, like Darrell Revis loved football and he loved money. And played for money. Okay, well if you have the talent at your position Darrell Revis had, then you can go ahead and you can try it. But if you just love what football gives you, you're going to get sorted out pretty quickly. And I'm not defending James Hudson because it's indefensible, but I know he's doing his damnedest. I know James Hudson's doing his damnedest, and he's also playing on a hurt foot, ankle. He's doing his best. He ain't that great. Hey, that's what it is. So it's not like when we get mad at James Hudson, it's not like James Hudson is walking and moping around and just, you know, what. He's doing his best, but he's not as good as what your number one guy's supposed to be. I mean, you got Josh Hines out. And Tone, I'm watching the video right now, which I probably shouldn't be. I should be locked into the chat with you just to make sure we're doing what you want to get in as well. But, I mean, he's getting bull rushed every time. It's not just Josh Hines out. It's everybody. He's not up to that snuff. That's all there is.
All right. Now, with that said, Kenny, I mean, isn't there something to be said for, man, I look at all these games around the league. We're talking about the trends of the depth of target being shallower and shallower. Teams are not putting their quarterback on those seven-step drops because they get killed. You saw what happened to Trevor Lawrence against Myles Garrett last week. So,
that one sequence they went through, sorry, where they remember they kicked the field goal, they missed it in the second half. It's like you have no yards or you had negative yards, sack, missed field goal is what happened on that sequence there. And the sack, he barely got out. I mean, he barely got his feet underneath him before Myles Garrett was there. Sorry, Tone. Go ahead.
But I'm watching the Kansas City against Cincinnati. Trey Hendrickson is having his way.
Yep.
Baltimore's offensive line has been shaky. Pittsburgh's offensive line has been shaky. And the more and more I watch around the league, Brock Purdy was sacked six or seven times. The whole these first 2 weeks of the year. And what I'm wondering is, can this get fixed league-wide, or are these teams just going to dink and dunk or get their quarterbacks out of the pocket to try to avoid catastrophe on these drives?
We have had these years, and I think that maybe the latter is probably going to happen. We've had these years, and I've waited for it to catch up, and it really hasn't caught up with us until recently, where you've had some exceptional offensive linemen who have been able to step in and fill the void. Guys like DeJuan Jones, who had his cramping issue of what happened last week or on Sunday against Jacksonville. But you've had a legitimate offensive line. But right now, you know, I'm missing something over there on the left side. And I've already said too much. I don't know what's happening. But yeah, I'm losing my patience too with the left tackle position. That's all there is to be said about it. And that's where I'm going to leave it there. You guys can this is one of those Easter eggs. You guys can read between whatever lines you want to. All right, Tone, you had a complicated thought about Patrick Mahomes. I kept saying I was going to get to this. I got to hear this.
This is tough for me to say because people are going to get really annoyed because I was sitting there watching the Bengals, rooting for the Bengals to win on Sunday, knowing that that's probably worse for the Browns in the division.
I think I know why you were doing it, but go ahead.
Because I need to see Kansas City look vulnerable, and I need to see Patrick Mahomes have a chance to actually lose to somebody.
Yep.
Because until we see that, then what is everybody going to say, and not just here, but around the league, but especially here, what is everybody going to say every week that Deshaun Watson throws for 180, 200, 175, 220, and we beat teams like Jacksonville? What is everybody going to say? well, we're still not going to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Until we see Kansas City look vulnerable and then see other teams step up and beat him,
yep,
then it's going to seem hopeless for the rest of the NFL.
You need a blueprint. You're looking for a blueprint. That's what you're looking for. You need a blueprint on how to beat Kansas City. Now, hey, we can't look past our opponents. Like, I'm not taking anybody lightly. I'm not taking the Giants lightly, and I should. They're terrible. But I'm not going to take them lightly. But I agree with you. You need a blueprint on how to beat Kansas City. And I don't know if there is one. The Patriots were able to beat them. All right, that was Tom Brady. Tom Brady was the cheat code in his own right. So unless I have Tom Brady at the peak of his powers, then I'm not going to really be able to beat them with any sort of consistency. It's a team that's scary. And the reason that they're scary is that you're seeing Travis Kelce at the end of his career. Mm-hmm. There's full faith and confidence that Brett Veach and Andy Reid will be able to replace him like they've been able to replace countless others.
Well, they just gave Noah Gray a big contract. He's the backup tight end.
Exactly.
He got $36
million. Like, they've been able to replace countless others with him. And there's guys, I'm sure, like, I'm not as in tune to the Chiefs as Owen is. I'm sure there's some Chiefs players that fans aren't over the moon with, but he just makes them look better. So we just assume everybody in a Chiefs jersey is an all-pro because he makes them. And they're good players. There's a lot of good players on that team.
But it's not just that he makes them look better. They go out with a confidence that I don't think lot of other players in the league have, because they know he's back there and he's going to make something happen.
They can play loose because they're not afraid to make
very
a mistake.
Much so.
Because you have a defense, right,
and
like
you
with
know,
the Browns.
If you do make a mistake, he's a guy that can overcome your mistake.
Exactly.
If it's early enough in the game.
Yes. If you have turnovers here and the Browns have had trouble getting turnovers on their defense, if you have turnovers, it's difficult. I mean, the Browns are, I couldn't believe this stat, they're 15-2. Earl the Pearl put this out there. They're 15-2 when they commit no turnovers. So you have to have basically, and even though they had 12 penalties, you have to have a relatively clean sheet to be able to win football games with the type of quarterbacking that they've had over 4 years of Kevin Stefanski. 4-2 games. I mean, that's difficult to do. So, Lima, what you're saying, that's complicated, but I don't want to root for the Bengals, but I would be interested to see them win so I can see a blueprint of how to beat them.
As I was talking about that on social media on Sunday, I saw Browns fans jumping up and down, ha-ha, Joe Burrow, and I'm like, he's the one guy that can do it. And if he can't do it, then what? Can nobody do it? Josh Allen can't do it. Lamar Jackson can't do it. So how does the rest of the NFL, what do we just have to hope for that Mahomes gets injured, that he gets concussed, that he tears his ACL? No, nobody wants to do that, even though secretly, if that were to happen, the rest of the fans in the AFC would be sending text messages to their friends.
Blood in the water.
Why?
Yep, there'd be
Super
blood in the
Bowl,
water.
It can happen.
I don't know if I've ever cried on a Monday. Steven Vogt, I'm an emotional guy. I got no
on
problem
a Monday?
Crying.
Oh, yeah. You did in 2020 when the Browns made the playoffs.
Oh, God, that's right. I forgot that was a Sunday night when they
met. Actually, it was 2021, I guess, technically.
Look at that guy. Look at that guy, man. Is he the most likable leader in Cleveland? Anthony Lima, go.
I thought Stefanski was, but you
right
you
now
didn't
he's number
seem to
one.
Think so.
No, because if we start talking about Kevin Stefanski, like we had a boob call in yesterday who wanted him fired after a win. We had a boob.
Well,
who wants Stephen
Vogt
fired
because,
right now? Who wants Stephen Vogt fired right now?
Well, hold on. So it's because Stephen Vogt is in the honeymoon period still.
Yeah.
So
I thought he
wasn't. Lose,
he's definitely. I mean, God, Tony's crying after a win.
Yeah, he's been awesome, and they've exceeded all the expectations. But if they end up just losing in their first round matchup or the ALDS,
he will be destroyed.
He wasn't crying because they won.
Not by fans. I mean, personally, he
wasn't
feel
crying
destroyed.
Because they won. He's crying because the guys are all playing for each other right now.
Like,
there's a different feel to this team than there is to the Browns team. The Browns team does not feel like they're playing for each other right
by
now.
By the way, he must be living and dying with every single pitch in every single game. So I guess Stephen Vogt ain't doing it wrong now, is he? Champions pose. However, he is the manager of the baseball team. But I think that what Owen is pointing out is absolutely correct. It's not just the victory. It's that the way that they're playing, the way that they play with each other, there's definitely a camaraderie in that clubhouse.
The way Naylor threw his hands up, standing between first and second base watching the ball, it looked like the end of a movie where they've hit the home run in the World Series.
One of the things I never liked, this is the only direct comparison I'll make between the 90s Indians and this Guardians team. This is the only one. The only thing I didn't like is that when I grew up, Because when I was a kid, and I'm 5 years younger than Tone, and I think, what, 3 years younger than you, Owen, 4 years younger than you? What am
Four.
I? 4 years younger than you. When I grew up, they're all wearing the red shoes and the high socks, and they're all got, you know, they got the sandwiches named after them at McDonald's and all the other things like that. I assumed when I was a child that they all got along. It was like, never meet your heroes. It hurt when I found out how dysfunctional the clubhouse was and how much a lot of those guys did not get along. And I should have, I was naive. I was a child. I didn't realize how cantankerous Albert Bell was. I didn't realize those things. I was too young. I didn't realize that there were issues within the clubhouse between second baseman and shortstop and pitching staff and Hargrove trying to hold it all together and then people being upset with Hargrove. Like, I didn't get all that. I didn't know that. Like, this is proof here. These guys like each other. Now, I don't know if they're going to go as far as those Indians teams did, but these guys, you can tell, that clubhouse, they are down with each other, man. They are down. They like each other. That makes it more fun.
We wondered if the fans believe. Do the players believe? Do they believe they're about to embark on a postseason October run for the ages? And
I think they do.
I was just going to say that last night, and I know it helps when they win, and it's amazing the way they did it. It's against the Twins. You're extending that buffer in the division. You're very close. You're closing in on magic numbers all over the board. That felt pretty cool last night.
You might be knocking the Twins out of the race, too, because the Tigers are coming up on them for that last wild card spot right now. And that's a team that has to win, and you have guys like Angel Martinez, Angel Martinez, but three hits last night, and then, of course, that home run. I mean, they feel like they've got all the pieces in place right now to, you know, at least set themselves up for a run, right?
Well, I think that, yes, I think a lot of people would say, all right, in realism, you know, my goal would be ALDS. It looks like they're going to be there anyway because they're playing well enough.
Yeah, play any games and be there.
Yes. Yeah. So, I think we move the goalpost as time goes on. The expectation, the goal, you know, goal would be ALCS. The expectation, I think they've already exceeded everybody's expectations with the way they've played this year. But just it makes me feel better as a fan if my team ends up being good, or not just being good, but liking each other as well. We want them to have camaraderie and get along, because that's the way we always wanted to feel when we were kids with our own teams. So to see that they definitely, there's not a chance. I mean, they're all grown individuals. I'm sure there's times where there's infighting and whatever, or frustration. But you can tell they seem to really enjoy the company of one another. And I think it makes it that much more fun for all the fan base out there.
And how about, you know, no Stephen Kwan. We're eager to get him back and hopefully with a fixed swing for the stretch run. But Martinez steps in, goes 3-for-4 yesterday, has an RBI there in the seventh that kept him in the game. I know Ramirez did end up coming through. But overall, I mean, if you can get Kwan back to being what we're hoping, and then how about some heroics here or there? And that's the way it's got to be for this team. Like yesterday it was Manzardo. We'll see. In any given game you need Naylor to step up. And hopefully Jose Ramirez can, you know, battle through and get some more clutch hits down the stretch, because I know some people have started to wonder about that with Jose, which is amazing to me that anybody doubts Jose ever. But there's a weird faction on the internet that I guess will just complain about everything. I do think they are a team that can make a run. I do think the American League is wide open. And, you know, if they end up finishing with the 2 seed, then, you know, you're staring at what could be a really, really entertaining series hypothetically against Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
And that could be fun.
So as it sits, so we have to remember here, real quick, Castor Vince points out that the first and second seed would have a bye. The 6 and 3 would play each other to play the 2. The 5 and 4 would play each other to play the 1. So as it sits right now, I think
and
we're just a little
reseed.
Bit. No,
this
they
isn't
don't
the
reseed.
NFL.
Very good point. We sit right behind the Yankees, so we would probably play, as of right now, the winner of the 5 versus the 4, as you say. Because, again, I think this needs to be explained, just like you were talking about with the postseason there. Also, you might want to pay attention today. I think it was a week ago that the new odds had came out. I want to see what the odds are. And odds, schmods, I understand. Tarek Skubal still had the best odds as of last check for American League Cy Young. Emmanuel Clase, second best odds.
Wow.
Then you have Corbin Burnes and Seth Lugo right behind him. So Right now, Emmanuel Clase is the second best odds. I think that's remarkable in its own right. I've still not let myself believe that he's going to win Cy Young. I didn't let myself believe that Kevin Stefanski was going to win Coach of the Year. I just don't want to get my hopes up on it. I think he's deserving of it. I think it's a great story. I think to have another closer that dominant is great. But I just think that these baseball writers are going to pick Tarek Skubal to win the Cy Young. But because he's a starter, so that's just where I stand on the thing.
It's tough. You've just got to be, and Class A has been so dominant. But you have to do it. Basically, he can't give up a run. He almost can't even give up base runners the rest of the year because they're just dealing at such a deficiency innings wise. You know, closers just never going to have anywhere near the innings that the starters are going to have, and so you're always going to be a huge underdog when it comes down to this.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.